everybody. It is Thursday. It's not Wednesday. It is Thursday. Happy New Year to everybody. And this is another edition of Snipes and Stripes on nofilter.net. And I'm pretty excited. I'm excited about this one because we're almost, I think we are halfway through the season.
Yep.
And there's a lot of crazy things going on in the league right now, Tim Peel. But Happy New Year, my friend. How are we doing?
I'm awesome, buddy. Happy New Year to you as well and all our listeners. Yeah, we got a lot of lot to talk about. Vegas Knights at the top of the standings. Didn't really see that coming at the beginning of the year. Winnipeg and Washington Capitals. So we'll get into.
And then we have not the Capitals, but the Capitals New York Rangers that we need to maybe. What an absolute debacle of an original six team happening right in front of our eyes that we can have a conversation with. First, thanks to Whiskey and the Wild, the best chocolate whiskey of all time. Go to whiskeyandthewild.com for the best experience that you'll ever have with the whiskey. And you're protecting neck guards and our
Bet Online,
who are our fantastic sponsors. So we appreciate it. And everybody that listens all the time, we have our usuals, and I see them. They're sitting around there. Our Johnny Duffin's there. Keenan's here.
Keenan.
Yeah, we're always there. Maybe we'll bring on one of you guys as a guest on this show, since we don't have a guest, but we have a lot to cover. And I don't know, where do we want to start?
Well, I know where I want to start, and that is the Winter Classic. Two nights ago or one night ago, took the family up. It was a phenomenal experience.
Wasn't it awesome?
It was great. I worked there, actually. I worked the outdoor game at Wrigley back in 2009. And working it is fun, but even a better experience being able to take the kids to it, enjoy everything, Wrigleyville before the game. But I have to tell you, it's so funny. I love the fans are what make our game so good, JR.
100%.
And Tisha and I and the kids are standing out front of Wrigley, and we're getting a picture, you know, in front of the famous Wrigley sign, Blues Blackhawks. And this guy comes by in a Blackhawks jersey, and he goes, "Timmy." I go, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "I go, what's your name?" He goes, "Jan." He goes, "I love you and JR. I love your podcast." I go, "Jan." I go, you know, we get a picture. I go, "Where are you? What nationality are you?" He goes, "I'm Polish." He goes, "Like Mariusz Czerkowski." I go, "I remember Anyway, I ran into him two or three more times at Wrigley.
That's great.
The nicest people, the nicest person. He said he listens all the time. So shout out to Jan. But I know you experienced that too. Listen, I saw you at Center Ice. You're with Denny Savard and Chelly, three Chicago Blackhawks legends. You look so happy. You look so at home. The fans there absolutely love it. I love you.
It was great. You know,
tell me how good that felt.
You know, it's great. I'm glad that it showed. I made a couple texts yesterday to a couple people. That was one of the happiest that I've been around hockey in a long time.
Yeah.
And it was because it was a special moment. And I know what it takes to be involved in special events in the National Hockey League. I know what it is to be part of a special event, especially representing the Blackhawks, which made me so happy. Being in Wrigley Field, seeing all the fans, and what you said is very true. Fans make our game.
Yeah, they do.
And it was raining all day, right up until the game. And people were out there in droves, wet, cold, just all in great moods. And then made that spectacle look even better. I thought the league did a great job putting the game on. I thought the Hawks did a great job in making sure that everything went off without a hitch. It was really well done, at least from my perspective. But I had so much fun. Being down on the bench, talking to the referees, you know, saying hi to the trainers, fist bumping with all the coaches, all the players came up to meet Chelly and Savvy and congratulated us, saying hi, giving us respect, except for one.
Oh boy.
And you know, I'm just gonna say this because I care and I want to make sure that you know, it's understood. There needs to be respect in the game, and there needs to be I think respect for the history of the game.
100%.
But there's one player that didn't come up to me, Chelly or Savvy, and that was the superstar of the Chicago Blackhawks, and that's Connor Bedard. Now, I understand he's 19, He's young, he's shy, so on and so forth. But this is this the, these are the things that have to change in Chicago in order for them to start winning. And that's having the respect, or at least the acknowledgement of, hey, we got to go up and say hi and say, way to go. And because we are a family,
100%.
we're all a family, regardless if we played 20 years ago or they're playing now, we're all still part of that family. And if we don't have that respect to go up and fist bump to say, hey, congratulations, what's going on? How can you do it with your own teammates, right? So I'm not ripping on him in terms of, his personality or anything like that. This kid needs to learn as a 19-year-old. This all is his learning curve. His learning curve has to be, if he's going to be a captain of this team, there's a lot of things that he has to think about in terms of being that leader and being that captain. And unfortunately, he dropped the ball on that opportunity. And
Yeah, that's tough to hear, because I see how other young stars in the league, I look at Connor McDavid, I look at Nathan MacKinnon, I look at different guys around the league that show the veterans, show past players the respect. Well, you know what? It's funny you brought that up, because we got back to the hotel room and Bronson, we're into the game on New Year's Eve. We're watching it. We're paying attention. And after the game, I said, "Did you even notice Connor Bedard tonight?" And he goes, "No." And I go, "That's not good." And so I sent out a tweet, and now it's all over social media, and everyone's like, "I'll peel, blah blah blah." But I said, "Bedard is no Celebrini," because I've seen Macklin Celebrini play a couple times live this year, once live in St. Louis, and then a few times on TV. And you kind of were critical a year ago about Bedard and his potential, and all I said was Bedard is no Macklin Celebrini, and so that's obviously garnered a lot of attention. But I watch him, JR, and you can have all the skill in the world, you can have, but it doesn't necessarily make you a good hockey player,
No.
and you know what? Maybe it's too early to tell. But I don't know, man. I think the media and the NHL hype this guy up so much. They wanted to make him the next Connor McDavid. And we'll see. But my initial impression after watching him for 2 years now, a year and a half, is he's a good player. But is he going to be a superstar in this league? I don't know. Time will
Yeah,
tell.
Keenan in the chat group just said sophomore slump. No, I don't. It's not a sophomore slump. This is about growth. The kid, what you said, he's got tremendous skill, tremendous hockey intelligence, right? I don't. I think he's more offensively intelligent than defensively intelligent, and maybe he needs to learn how to play defense more, or at least have a cognizant attention towards playing defense more than offense, at least for now. He's small. He's not strong. He's got things going against him, which is okay. He's 19. I'm not ripping on him. For what I want him to understand is that there are expectations as a top-notch player that he has to live up to. Number one, he does have to play both ends of the ice. Okay? That's very, very important. That's number one. Number two, he's got to be a good vocal leader. He's got to be a guy in the locker room that everybody looks to for that energy, for that verbal, and for that, I think, that attention and care in the locker room that you show with your words, that you show with your face, that you show with your energy, or your body
Language.
Language. He needs to show that. For some reason, I see deer in headlights.
Mm-hmm.
I see somebody questioning themselves. I see at some points, at some times, a lack of confidence. And to be totally honest with you, a lack of gritty, intense bite.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't care how big you are. I mean, we just talked to Theo Fleury a couple of weeks ago, who was smaller than Connor Bedard, that had a bite like nobody else's business.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we don't need him fighting, but it's the energy, and everything becomes a mentality. It becomes a personality and a mentality. And he's in that time where he's really can learn. He needs to grow and he needs to understand who he wants to be, who he's expected to be, and what his teammates need him to be in that locker room. And if he doesn't, the last thing I want to happen with this kid is have him lose the respect of his teammates in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
because he separates himself from the team or doesn't inject himself into the middle to be vocal, to be engaged, to be the guy who's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they do have one thing going for them. They have a great captain in Nick Foligno. Nick Foligno cares a lot. I think he's really embarrassed right now what's going on. And I think he will do his best to try to get people to come out of their shells, because you know what needs to happen in that locker room? All those players need to be called out.
Yeah.
One by one. And they need to be yelled at, and they need to be told what they're doing wrong. They need to be told when they're playing like shit. And they need to do it after every game. Each player accountable. They should be going around that room and not being afraid to hurt somebody's feelings and say, Connor, you were terrible tonight.
Yep.
Pat, you didn't do your job. You didn't drop your gloves and fight for this guy, or didn't hit make that hit, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Until they make each other accountable to each other in that room, I just don't – everything's too quiet right now.
Yeah, and listen, it's everything you said is bang on and 100% correct. I just don't know. There are very few teams and players that can be held accountable anymore in the NHL. And we'll get into what's going on in Vancouver here in a few minutes. But, you know, Braden Schenn and Nick Foligno are two guys that embody what it's like to be an NHL player. They play with passion. They both play with grit, determination. There's a reason that they're both captains of their teams. And Schenner, you know, everyone thought that...
Great kid, by the way.
Everyone thought that Nick Foligno challenged Schenn because they were losing. Schenner has so much respect for Nick. He's like, hey, can we fight? Because in post-game interview, Schenn goes, I don't know if I'll ever get to play in one of these again. He goes, I wanted to fight at Wrigley Field in an outdoor game. But that's the kind of guy Nick Foligno is. Nick's like, yeah, sure, let's go. And Schenner even said, he goes, Nick got the best of me, but it didn't matter. I wanted to fight. We're not saying that that's what, but what I'm saying is a lot of these younger players, JR, I see it even on the Blues team, a couple of their younger guys, they go up and down. You know, that game, that Winter Classic game, show some passion, show some, you guys are getting embarrassed at home, gloat and cross-check somebody, punch somebody in the face, do something. These fans, like Nick Foligno said, I'm embarrassed that these fans spent good money and saw this. That's the type of effort you're going to give?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really hard. And it is the care. You know, they're right on the cusp of being okay with losing. Maybe they're already in it. I don't know. But they're on the cusp of getting comfortable losing games. And that becomes a we see what happened in Buffalo. They're 13 years out of the playoffs now because they've become comfortable with losing. And I care about this team a lot. And,
I know you do.
And, you know, and that's, those are the fears that I have. And
JR, hopefully that really bothers me. It really bothers me that every player and the respect that even from the Blues players showed, you know, three legends of the Chicago Blackhawks and their so-called superstar doesn't even come over and acknowledge you guys. That's disgraceful to me. That is disgraceful. That's
embarrassing. Well, it's worrisome, if you ask me.
Very worrisome.
It's worrisome because, you know, this is going to be the guy who's going to be your captain at some point, right? So that has to be, I think it becomes the culture, right? Everything in winning teams, they create a culture in the locker room, and that culture has to be upheld. Part of that culture is the respect, respect of the team, of your teammate sitting next to you and how you're going to play for that person. The culture of the team and how it plays as a team, right? Whether it's going to be gritty, whether it's going to be strong defensively, whether it's going to be, you know, line per line is going to be a full, you know, it's going to be a full 60 minute type of intense game. And everybody's got to buy into it. When you have little things like just an acknowledgement or a respect factor, those little things chink the armor.
Yeah, they do.
They chink the armor, right? Oh, he's not doing it. Oh, he's not doing it.
Yep.
Why do I have to do it?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Hey, shout out to Cam Fowler, played in his 1,000th game. He played 993 games, I think, for Anaheim. And another smooth move by Doug Armstrong pulling Cam over because Nick Leddy may not get back in the lineup this year, and he wanted a defenseman that can log a lot of minutes. Cam's 33 years old. He gets two goals in his 1,000th game. He puts on Chaser's shoulder pads after the game. And he was so happy. All the boys in that room are drinking Bud Lights together. And you know what? He's had a hell of a career, Cam Fowler. He's still logging. Like, I talked to Chaser driving home yesterday from Chicago, and he goes, he's 33. He's obviously slowed down from, but what he is, he's a smart, smart defenseman. And he's still logging 21, 23 minutes a game.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, so he's been a model of consistency for sure. He's been a very, very good defenseman for a long time. I'm glad you mentioned our boy, Kelly Chase. I talked to Kelly today, called him, see how he's doing. Seems like he's doing better today. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we're going to keep on wishing our best to our boy, Kelly Chase. And obviously our boy, Joe Manuel, who's also battling this cancer debacle, but we know they'll both come out on the other side. So happy new year to our friends, and 25 is going to be a great year for them. You mentioned something about Vancouver. What do you think about what's going on in Vancouver?
Well, you know, Brad Richardson played in the NHL for a long time. Richie, great guy. One of the best guys. I don't know how well you know him. He played in Arizona for a while. Brad's a great guy, and he was doing a podcast a couple days yesterday, I think, with our buddy Shane O'Brien and Scotty Upshaw, and he played with JT Miller in Vancouver. Richie did at the end of his career, and with Elias Pettersson, and he made a great comment yesterday. He said that he pulled JT aside at one point and said, hey man, you got to ease up on this kid. And he said some players, I've seen that with the kids that I coach. There's kids I can grind, there's kids that need me to pat them on the back all the time, because everyone responds in a different way. He goes, this kid's shutting down on you. He's shutting down on you. And JT can be very tough. I respect JT Miller a lot, But when I refereed him, he was a real prick, man. Like, he was a prick. We battled. We had a lot of FU contests on the ice. Like, he is intense. And it's probably why he's an elite player, is because he does care. He is not.
Yeah. He's emotional. He's emotional.
He's very emotional. But Richie had a good point. Like, JT, you may be able to grind me. You may be able to.
Who's grind JT that grinding? Guy. Who's JT grinding?
He's grinding Elias Pettersson, because they've got that. There's that thing going on right now where they're saying one of them might get traded. And there's a feud going on in Vancouver between those two. And JT Miller says that it's all in the media. The media is making all this up. But people that are close to the scene saying that that's not accurate. It's not just all the media. JT Miller and Pettersson aren't getting along very well. And not everyone needs to get along. But I guess it's gotten pretty bad there that, you know, they're talking that one of them may get traded.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. So if you were going to trade one of the two of them, who would you trade?
Well, I would trade JT Miller, not for today, but he's 6 or 7 years older than Elias Pettersson, right? And that's the only reason. Now, if you want to win today, I would keep JT Miller. But he also is, like I said, 6 or 7 years older than Pettersson. And Pettersson's a superstar in this league. But, you know, the Canucks are underachieving right now. And our buddy Rick Tocchet, and I'm sure he's just beside himself that what's going on over there. And you know, they've had the problems with Demko being healthy, and they're just underperforming. And I don't know if this problem between these two players is repairable.
Well, it's a very important part of the season for them too, because they're in fourth in their division. They're only 5 points out of that playoff spot in their division. So these wins become very, very important, because we're in the doldrums, right? We're in the doldrum days right now.
We are.
We're not quite halfway done with the season. And this is when teams can really let their guard down and start really losing games and fall. Either they're going to fall out of the playoff contention, or they're going to stay vigilant and they're going to play themselves into it. And Vancouver needs to be that team that's going to stay vigilant and play themselves into it. And it bothers me a lot. That really makes me, I don't know if it makes me more sad or more mad that you have two guys that don't get along because one's pushing the other, mm-hmm. or one isn't doing his job, not playing to his potential, and he's getting called out by a teammate. That's all about what team sports is all about. And shame on Elias Pettersson if he's not playing well, or if he's pouting because a teammate is calling him out. Yeah. It kind of questions, it would question me being confident with Elias Pettersson. Like, how do I know what I'm going to get for him? If he can just turn on me because he doesn't like me, or because I said something that he didn't like. You talk about a weak person, that's a weak person.
I agree. And
I have seen Elias play great and be awesome, but I've seen him play poorish more than I've seen him play awesome.
And disappear. Yeah.
And disappear. Uh-huh. He's not the strongest guy. He's a great skater, but if you look at him, he looks like he's made of a clothes hanger.
I know.
You know? It's kind of crazy too with Rick Tocchet as the coach. You would think that he wouldn't stand for that kind of relationship, or at least that kind of attitude. I'm sure he loves what JT is doing.
Sure.
Or at least the idea of why he's doing it. I wish I knew a little bit more about the interior information of what's going on, which I don't. But I question Elias Pettersson, to tell you the truth.
Well, JR, I think part of the problem with being a National Hockey League coach now is you're not necessarily, your role isn't just to coach. Your role is to be a part-time psychologist and psychiatrist, because you're dealing with so many different personalities. And it seems like it's just the world we live in, with a lot of people that are soft. And, you know, like I said, all I said was Celebrini, Bedard's no Celebrini, and now it's all over social media. Peel calling out Bedard. It's like, holy God, our society is so soft now. You call somebody out, and it's like you kick their dog and ran over their cat. It's like, it's unbelievable. It's got to be difficult for a guy like Rick Tocchet, that would literally fight every night for his teammates, do everything for his teammates, be the ultimate team guy, and have to deal with these personalities that when times get a little tough, they maybe fold up their tent and go home.
Yeah. Well, but it has to start changing somewhere. And the only place it starts changing is in the locker rooms. In the locker rooms, the boys have got to stop worrying about feelings. They have to stop worrying about calling somebody out, about yelling. Feelings don't win hockey games. They don't.
No, they don't.
Feelings don't win hockey games. Teams that are all on board and accountable to each other. And you said it earlier. I played on a lot of teams where I didn't like everybody on my team.
Right.
I respected everybody on the team, but I didn't like them. I didn't have to hang out with them, but I'm sure as hell going to go out there and play hard for them, because I'm going to play for the emblem that's on my chest and have a little bit of pride in the emblem that I wear on my chest.
Exactly.
You know what they always say? You always play for the front of the shirt, not the back of the shirt.
Correct.
It just seems like there's too many people that have that, that very weak, sensitive system, that their feelings are more important than their production, right? And that's too bad. But the only way that's going to change is that mentality has to change, and that feeling of that lack of durability, you have to build that thick skin. And the only way you're going to build that thick skin is by consistent grinding. And we're going to see, you'll see who is made to play and who's not. And the ones that aren't are going to get pushed out. But soon people are going to see that. And then they're being like, I'm not going to let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's a lot like all this woke stuff is getting pushed out. It's because finally everybody's pushing back against it and saying, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And it's going away. Right. The same thing can happen in the locker room with feelings. And so I don't know. Luch says, Take JT to the Rangers, because obviously the Rangers need some help, and the Rangers need more than JT Miller.
Well,
to get some help, man.
Our buddy Sean Avery has been all over Zibanejad. He's got a pointer stick like a teacher would use, and he's pointing on the screen Zibanejad the last couple games. He goes, dry hair, dry hair, dry hair. He's like, this guy is not even working hard. But before we get into the Rangers, I have a major concern for our buddy Craig Berube up in Toronto, and that is Austin Matthews is out again with that wrist injury that he missed 9 games with earlier in the year and is now going to miss his second or third game. This is the injury that he re-aggravated this year and went to Germany to see a specialist over there, somebody that he's worked with in the past. But this is a big concern for Toronto, JR. Austin Matthews is top three player in this league. You know,
he's 30% of that whole team scoring.
And now you've got the Four Nations Cup coming up, and you and I have jokingly got into it with Billy Guerin last time about, you know, players playing in that and getting hurt. Can Austin Matthews go play in that if he's not 100%?
Austin will not be playing in that Four Nations Cup, in my opinion. If he's battling this injury again and this keeps him out for any length of time in this aspect, if I were the Toronto Maple Leafs, I'd say you can't go play. I mean, that you gotta take some time to heal that, because if you think about it, you have a nagging injury like this to become a career thing. Look what happened with Peter Forsberg. Peter Forsberg had an ankle injury that was so devastating that he kept re-injuring and re-injuring it, and he probably got to 80% of his potential, because that kid was sick. He was sick,
He
and
was
to
the
see.
best. He was the best reverse hitter I've ever seen.
No question about it. And the fact that he probably retired early because of an ankle, because of his injury. You don't want that happening with an Austin Matthews,
No.
especially it's the wrist. His best asset is a shoot, is a shot, is his shot. And if he does not get this thing straightened out and it becomes chronic, not only is it going to affect the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it's going to affect his career. I mean, I predicted he's going to be the highest scoring American of all time.
Well, you just made a great comment, and I want to ask you, can the Toronto Maple Leafs demand that he doesn't play? Like, can Austin Matthews say, sorry, Brad Treliving, but I'm playing in the Four Nations Cup? Like, do they have any control over him?
I don't see why they wouldn't or how they couldn't. I mean, they own his contract. He doesn't have a contract with the United States.
I know, and that's why I'm asking you. I don't know whether they could or not. Like, I don't
I'm telling you right
know
now,
what's
if I'm in the league and my team says you can't play in it, I'm not playing in it.
right.
As much as I would want to, I have to be loyal to the team that's paying me my salary, that has, especially for him, that has given him a $13.5 million a year contract, which they have a lot of money riding on Austin Matthews. I think Toronto has every single right to say when a play if the player is going to go play either at an all-star game or an international event that's right in the middle of the season, that, by the way, is going to be hard hockey. It's not going to be, just NHL skills competition
No,
and
it's
all-star
not.
game where floaters. These guys are playing hard for their country. There's going to be injuries in this tournament that they have in the middle of the season, and someone's going to be pissed.
Yeah.
So if Austin Matthews already has an injury, then he better be very smart about him playing, and the team better be smart about him playing, because and really the most important thing for them is a Stanley Cup. It's not
Correct.
the Four Nations.
Correct.
In 1996, the World Cup, I did not play in the World Cup because I did not have a contract. I was right in the middle of signing my contract. And I made a decision not to play, because if I get hurt in the
Yep.
World Cup, and we saw how tough that World Cup was that year. I mean, it was brutal hockey.
Yeah. Yep.
It was tough. The fights that happened in that Canadian American series, the anger, the ferocity, the tension. If I get hurt in that, I don't have a contract.
Where were you?
I just
Refresh
got
my
traded.
memory.
I just got traded from the Hawks to Phoenix,
And you hadn't
and I had not signed a
signed.
contract yet. I was still negotiating my contract, and it was in, I guess it was August, right? August or September of that year, and or August, the World Cup was. And I couldn't risk it,
Did that
right?
kill you?
Obviously, I wanted to play. I love that team. I love all my teammates on that team. I've been through so much with a lot of those players, and obviously World Juniors, and then international stuff beforehand. So yeah, it did hurt. But if I would go back again to '96, even though I know they were going to win, I'd still make the same decision.
Did Walt and Modano and Wader and what did those guys think at the time? Did
No, they never
they
said
agree?
anything. Not one person gave me shit for
They
not.
agreed. Well, you can't. Like you can't go play without a contract,
No,
you know.
no. I mean, if I had signed my 5-year, $20 million contract in the beginning of August, I would have been there.
Right.
But that was the first contract where I was actually going to make real good money.
Right.
Right. Because I'm coming off of making like 1.7 million
Right.
for in 1995, 96. And that was my first big opportunity to make real good money. I'm coming off of 250 goal seasons, 300 point seasons. Right. That was my time. And then, you know, with the old rules, free agency, you had to be 31.
Yeah.
Which was the stupidest free agency rule of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time. I got one good kick at the can for free agency salary, and that was when I went to the Flyers, you know.
What year did you play in the World Juniors?
87, 88, and 88, 89.
Where were they?
Russia and Alaska.
Russia and Alaska. How did you guys do?
We were terrible in Russia. I think we finished sixth, and in Alaska we finished fourth.
Okay.
Fourth or third. But, you know, I held the World Junior point scoring champion title for 24, 25 years until that Schrader broke it in like 2010 or 2012 or 2014.
How many points did you have?
I had like 25 points over maybe more, 27. I think I had 27 points in two World Juniors.
Wow. But
Schrader played in three.
Nah.
Played in three World Juniors and broke my record. And that held for just a couple of years until Zegras broke the record.
Didn't you hold a record at Pee Wee Quebec too before Mario Lemieux broke your record?
No, Gretz. Gretz, I think, scored seven or eight in one game. I scored seven.
Scored seven goals in one game at Pee Wee Quebec.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. The best hockey players in the world are playing in that tournament.
Yep. And we were playing in that, the international division, or the one with all the NHL teams, all the best from each region.
That's awesome. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We'll move on from Austin Matthews. Hopefully, you know, as you know, like, wrist injuries can nag you for years.
Yeah.
Because you're using your hand
constantly,
whether it's buttering toast, pouring milk, like constantly, you know. I remember mine bugged me a few years ago and I had to get some injections in the sheath of my wrist and it can linger. So,
hey, let's bring somebody on. We haven't done this in a long time, but let's do it. Let's bring Luch on. Let's get to see Luch. We haven't seen him in a while. I know he jumped on right when we started the show, but it'll be good. Just maybe get his opinion about a couple things. He's very active on the chat, which we love everybody to be active on the chat.
There he is.
What's up,
Luch? Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, buddy. How are you, man?
Good, good.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, guys.
So perfect that you have the Rangers hat on, because this is a nice segue into figuring out. First of all, I would love to get your reaction on the Drury and Trouba situation. I've never seen a player rip a general manager on social media. And we've seen Commodore go after Bob Babcock, but this rant by Trouba on Chris Drury was epic. What was your take about all that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a little crazy. There were a lot of AI ones too that I'm sure you probably saw a lot of them that were fake on the internet too. But yeah, I mean, Zach Jones is basically just did the same thing from what I heard.
Before you say anything, Lutz, I was going to read what Zach Jones said. Zach Jones has been scratched now six games. He goes, I'm rotting away. And he says to Larry Brooks, he goes, this is an effing joke. Like this is becoming a shit show in New York right now.
It's crazy. I just can't believe what's going on there. You know, now Shesterkin's out. He's on IR.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just getting worse and worse over there. I don't get it. I guess there's a disconnect somewhere in the locker room, I'm assuming.
Well, I don't know. Listen, this is a classic case of players giving up on somebody.
Right.
And whether it's a group, thing, or whether they all just feel the same way at the same time. I don't know what it is, but they're revolting against something.
Yeah.
And I mean, what have they won 3 games in the last 18 or something crazy like that? There's way too much talent on this team to be losing like that.
Right. Right. There's got to be some changes coming soon. I'm hoping, as a Ranger fan, I'm hoping there are some big changes coming.
But Luch, like, this is the problem that I have is now, like, a Spencer Carberry, who's been in the league, I think, 4 years, is one of the most tenured coaches in the NHL. And it seems the only way that teams get fixed now is firing their coach. And Peter Laviolette won the President's Trophy last year. I know Peter very well. I respect Lavi a lot. He's a hell of a coach. Don't tell me that he's lost that room in a year, and I don't believe it for a moment. But then on the other hand, I've never heard of a team quitting on the GM. I've never heard that before. But I think there's some validity to that, where they're pissed off with how Barkley Goodrow got let go. He was popular in that room. Then they traded their captain Trouba and treated him with a lot of disrespect. So do you think there's any validity to that they're revolting against Drury?
I mean, it could be. Sure could be. I mean, you know, you got players like Panarin and Kreider. These guys are just not playing up to their talent, it seems like. You wonder if it's, you know, if they're holding back a little bit. Who knows?
What's the what's everybody like – I don't read the media out there, or what the media saying, or the word around the Ranger fan base. There's got to be a lot of anger. I mean, or amazement. But what are they saying in the papers? I mean, is that Donkey Brooks holding them accountable at all? What's he saying? I mean, not that I really put 2 cents into what Larry Brooks says in the paper, but I'm sure the papers can't be good for him.
Yeah, I'm not really sure exactly what they're talking about, but like I said, I think they just need to make a few more changes, maybe change it up a little bit and see what happens. You know,
I think they need major change. They don't need me to make a little bit of change. There's got to be a major change, because there's a major mental flaw going on right now.
I agree. You trade one, you go 1-for-1 or 2-for-2 with players. That's not enough. That's going to change this team right now. Like you just said, Luch, Kreider, you didn't even mention Zibanejad. Avery's been all over him. His work ethic is atrocious right now. It's just, it looks like they're just like, you know what? We're done. We're going to collect our $7-9 million and we'll let them figure it out. But it looks like they've written the season off, which is unbelievable.
They're not even 40 games and they're like writing the season off.
Yeah, I mean,
I picked them to win the Stanley Cup this year. This is so bad for me.
Right. Last year, the President's Trophy, which, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, to go from the President's Trophy to last place in the NHL just about right now. And
well, they were up at the top in the beginning of the season. I mean, this was the fastest drop from top to bottom I've seen in a long time.
And you got a player like Cooley, and you got a player like Hedl that are like the best players on the team right now. It seems like that's my view. Cooley is one of the best players on the team.
JR, I told you they never should have given Shesterkin $92 million. I told you, you and I have argued about that.
It's kind of crazy, because it's almost like that was a spark. It was almost like that started the whole thing, right? I mean, there's no way players in there would be like, goaltenders shouldn't make $11.5 million. I ain't playing for this guy. They're not saying that, are they?
Are the other players a little bit bitter, knowing that, like, when their contracts are up, are they going to be able to sign them to a good contract? I don't know if that happens, but, you know, is that a possibility too? Who knows?
Luke, you live in Buffalo, right?
I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, you're in Jersey. Okay.
New Jersey. Yeah. Well,
it's kind of hard being a Ranger fan, being in Jersey right now.
Devil's country is tough.
Devil's country is tough, especially nowadays, right? But neither team is doing all that great. Well, Jersey's actually doing okay. They're 24-14, so they're rolling along right now. They're having a good season, and it's I'm shocked that Washington's at the top of that division, to tell you the truth. But I don't know. Hey, listen, Luce, we'll let you go. I love having you on. Thanks for joining again. And
all right, guys,
I'm gonna wish you good luck on the Rangers, but I ain't holding my breath, bro.
All right, thanks, guys. Well,
happy New Year, buddy. You know it's bad when the Rangers are behind the Islanders right now. That's not good.
No, the Rangers are behind almost everybody right now except the Hawks.
That's for sure.
And San Jose. All right, boys. All right, Luke, see you. Happy New Year, buddy.
You know, JR, it's amazing when you look at these stats. They're last in the Metro division. Like, how is that even possible? They only have one more point than the Buffalo Sabres. They were the President's Trophy winners last year. Are you kidding me?
And like, I can't quite remember, but I'm going to try to take a look at this. And it was their start. I think they started off like gangbusters too.
Yeah, they were playing well.
They were doing pretty amazing. That, and I just don't know what happened. But this is a debacle of a situation, if you ask me.
Hey, while you're looking that up, when you played, when you got slew-footed, was that one of the dirtiest things that could ever happen to you?
That's the one of the most aggravating things that,
because you don't expect it, right?
Because you don't expect it. It's so dangerous, right? So, yeah, getting slew-footed is pretty much a cheap shot.
Yeah, well, Zach LaRue from the Predators, he slew-footed Jarrett Spurgeon a couple nights ago, and he's having a hearing today, and Jarrett Spurgeon went hard into the boards and. You know, that's a play that can break your ankle, can break your leg. But thank goodness Spurgeon's all right. And Billy Guerin, when he was on our show, talked about the importance of Jarrett Spurgeon on that team. So,
yeah,
he's having a hearing. I cannot remember the last time I saw a player get suspended for.
Well, I think it's time.
I agree.
It is very dangerous in so many different ways. You know, we talk about concussions, right? Everybody. The league is so hard about hitting and not and contact to the head. There's one really good way to get a concussion, and that's a slew foot going, your feet going out from under you, and the first thing usually that hits is the back of your shoulders and your back of your head. So, but it's just a bullshit cheap shot, and the lack of disrespect for anybody.
You know, just to go back on that Ranger thing and this Zach Jones. You don't hear what he said today or yesterday. I'm rotting away because he's been scratched six times, and this is an effing joke. Jer, let's not minimize that. That does not happen a lot in the National Hockey League. Even when you played, you kept your mouth shut. Hey, I'm here for the team. I'm working hard in practice, trying to get back in the lineup. They say all the right things. For Zach Jones to say this, it's almost like he wants out of New York. It's almost like we're going to say whatever the hell we want in New York now.
Well, by the way, is it that he wants out of New York, or is he showing a passion play right now?
Well, because, no, exactly.
You know, well, if I'm the coach right now, I'm looking for anybody that's going to show some grit that wants to play.
Like Kaapo Kakko, he spoke out and said it was a joke, and he got traded 2 days later to Seattle. So,
yeah, but this is I don't know. I'm not a Kaapo Kakko fan.
No, I wasn't either. But what I'm saying is, it's very unusual for players to speak out like this. I agree with you. If I'm looking for a spark, I'm putting this guy in the lineup. I don't know why he's been a healthy scratch. But something's going to change there, because, you know, as we know, when we had who do we have on the other day about the Rangers, we were talking about James Dolan,
Barnaby,
and James Dolan, he's a bit of a wing nut, the owner of the Rangers, and I can't see him, you know, standing pat and watching this watching this ship sink right now, because it is this is too good of a team for them to be where they're at. And I hope, and I'm maybe a little biased because I like Peter Laviolette. Unfortunately, he'll probably take the rap, but I think that's bullshit because Peter's a great coach. He had President's Trophy last year.
I agree with that.
You know, Vegas surprised you at all? I'm surprised that Vegas is first in the NHL.
I'm surprised that they're first in the NHL, yes. Am I surprised that they're near the top? No. Because, buddy, what surprised me more about Vegas is they made it to the Stanley Cup in the first year. If there's a team in the National Hockey League that does things the right way, it's Vegas Golden Knights. And I'm talking about every aspect of the word.
And they're 2 points behind Winnipeg. Winnipeg's one, but I was reading power rankings today and they had Vegas number one. That's why.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. And it seems like they continually have a mentality of playing the same way. They're a very consistent team.
Yeah,
the way they play. A lot of people thought getting rid of Marchessault would have been a big uh-huh. deal. Right?
Uh-huh.
No, they just keep going right at it. I think Jack Eichel has become a model of consistency as a hockey player.
I agree.
And he is one of the top guys. And I also think it's a great place to play.
Great place to play.
This is a first-class organization that has a first-class practice facility.
Yeah.
They have an amazing entertainment team and what they do in their marketing department and how much fun they make it for their fans to go watch a game. And then they allow their players to be part of the culture of Las Vegas. Right. And it's a good place to live. I bet you those guys have a blast living in Vegas and being able to go out onto that ice in front of an energetic crowd where the team is playing the best music and entertainment all over the place. And how can you not get energized as a player when all this is going around you and the team goes, yeah, we're going to spend money on you. We're going to make sure that you get the right players. We're going to bring the media in. We're going to bring everybody closer to you guys so we know you.
They've got a great owner in Foley.
Great owner.
George
well-run machine.
George McPhee basically built the Washington Caps and then left. And the Caps won the trophy, I think won the Stanley Cup the year or two later. And that Brian McClellan was kind of given credit for winning the Stanley Cup. But George McPhee built that team. George McPhee did a tremendous job going to Vegas. Then he brings in Kelly McCrimmon, very well-respected hockey guy. So from the owner to McPhee to McCrimmon to Bruce Cassidy – it's just a well-oiled machine there, and it's impressive to see. And you know, you talk about that market, and then you go to a small market like Winnipeg, where it's probably minus 20 there today, but they're first in the NHL with 55 points. They had a slump for about a month, which every team does throughout the season, but. And a lot of people, JR, especially on the East Coast, a lot of people don't get to see the Jets play. This is a really, really, really good hockey team, and they probably have the best goaltender in the league with Connor Hellebuck that people will get to see at the Four Nations Cup because he'll be the starter for the U.S. And they're just a great hockey team.
Yeah. Well, I they're one of my favorite teams. I mean, Chicago, Philly, Vegas. You know, those are my teams that I really watch a lot. Really, I watch, you know, as much as I love San Jose, I know, unfortunately, they're a long way from
Your LA Kings, they're 22-10. You got to give Kings, them credit.
I love my Kings. Each year I follow the Kings, love the Kings, and love Luke Robitaille and my buddy Blakey, Rob Blake. I get so mad at myself for playing bad the one year that I was there. I feel so guilty of playing bad because I am a huge Kings fan. I love the Kings. I really do. And the fans are great, but I always wish them the best. I'm actually going to go to a game here in a couple weeks against Florida Panthers. I'm gonna go watch Florida up in LA later in the month. So that'll be a lot of fun. But
Kopitar just keeps trucking along.
He is trucking along. He is the class of the NHL, man. Andre Kopitar is. He is the class of the National Hockey League. I don't care what anybody says. He is a model of consistency. He is the epitome that he epitomizes the gentlemanly great player with competitiveness. And
if he had played in the Canadian market, he would be so much more admired than what he already is. He's already, but it's the hockey people know that Anze Kopitar is a tremendous player. But your average fan, they know he's good, but they don't realize how good he's been or good and how consistent he has been every year in the NHL.
Afterwards, he's just going to go back to his country and maybe run for president or prime minister of his country.
Right.
He'll win. He's the most famous athlete in this country, which he deserves. He is the best.
Slovenia.
Yeah, it's a great country to be a great NHL player from. There's no question about it. But anyway, what a good show. It's a good way to start 2025 PLZ. Let's see what happens here. We're going to have the Ovechkin watch. He has 27 goals. He's back in the lineup, scored 2 goals early. But we'll see if that ankle is going to impede him. Does he have a chance to get it this year? Some say no. He's got over 40 games. He needs 27. I would never put it out of Ovi's chances, but we'll see.
You know what? Just 2 quick things is we have to give Washington a lot of credit. Last year, you and I, they were the second oldest team in the NHL, only to Pittsburgh. What they've been able to do is remarkable. Shout out. I think they play tonight or tomorrow. USA. Tomorrow, I think. No, it is tonight. USA and Switzerland and Canada versus Czechia. And the USA beat the mighty Canadians in Canada.
I won some money against my buddy.
In Canada to boot in Ottawa. And so, you know,
tough on the Canadians. They lost to Latvia and lost to the Americans. So I'm sure the Canadians aren't too happy up there, but they can change that right now. But we'll
I don't want to piss off my Canadian family and friends, but I got to be honest. I've lived here for 23 years now, and I'm rooting for.
I see what's on your hat, buddy. I see what's on your hat.
Yeah, you see what's on my hat.
It's a good old American flag. So,
anyway, that'll be fun to watch.
Absolutely, buddy. Well, we will see you next week. We appreciate everybody for watching. Thanks for jumping on, everybody in the chat line, our Whiskey in the Wild, our protected neck guards, and our Bet Online. We love you guys, and we can't wait to see you next week. So happy 2025. And from PLZ and myself and Snipes and Stripes on nofilter.net, we will see you next week.
See you, buddy.
Bye-bye.